Turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. What are we going to be talking about today?
Prayer.
Amen. We're talking about prayer being God's invitation to us. We saw last week in Jeremiah 33:3, he said, "Call unto me, and I will answer." And so there's an invitation that God gives us as his children to come to him, to talk, to fellowship, but also to ask him those things which are promised to us in his word. John 15, verse 7 is an amazing statement that Jesus made. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Notice it says, you will ask what you desire. Notice, it's not someone else asking on your behalf. It's not asking someone else to do it for you. But what you desire, ask him. And it says, and it shall be done. Aren't you glad it doesn't say maybe or sometimes? Who, you know, maybe, who knows what God's going to say. But notice there are two things that happen that should be happening before you ask. Two things. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, last week we talked about that prayer kind of has two sides to it. There is the relational part of prayer, that is a God who loves us, who's our Father, who is on our side, that wants to just simply fellowship with us. You know that, how many of you have family members that you don't need a reason to be around them? You just want to hang out, right? And so it's refreshing, it's wonderful to be in the presence of someone in their company, someone that you love and someone that loves you. And so not all the communication that you give to them is all business, right? If you're outside of the town and you're sending texts to your spouse or to someone that you love, it's not all, you know, feed the dog, pick up the mail. It's just, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Amen? So there's the fellowship relational side of prayer, but then there's also the side that is a covenant, where God says, put me in remembrance of my word. That is, not because he forgot, but remind me and bring the promises that I have given you. Bring them to my attention. And so we see many times that David in his Psalms would say, Lord, according to your word. And so there, you know, the Bible is not, it's more than a contract, but it has parts that is the way God is relating to us. And so here we see kind of both sides of prayer where Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, the first part, we kind of think of what Jesus said also in the Gospel of John, that he is the vine, we are the branches, and that fruit takes place on the branches, not on the vine, all right? And so as we stay connected to him, all right, as Paul said, that I might be found in him, that his life and love and grace comes to us and flows through our life to others, producing fruit. All right, so we stay connected to him in our relationship. And then secondly, that his words abide in us. Now, the word abide there, both places, it has the idea in the Greek that it means to take a permanent place, a permanent residence. Now, all of us probably have a place where we live all the time, right? That's our permanent place. If you were filling out a form, it says, what is your place of residence? That's where you live. But how many of you visit other places from time to time? You want to go on a business trip, you visit family and friends, you go on a holiday, right? But that's not where you live, all right? Unfortunately, sometimes Christians have it the other way around. God, his presence, his word is just a place where they visit from time to time. You know, sometimes if I'm traveling countries, there'll be a form that says places that you've visited since the last time you came here, all right? Well, where have I visited? Well, I've been Botswana, Zimbabwe, this place or that place. And really, God, he wants his word to take up permanent home in our life. He wants us to stay connected to him all the time. Now, I know there are a lot of Christians who don't live their life that way, but they run to God in a problem. Do you know God's okay when you run to him in problems? All right? When you run to him and you haven't been there for a while, he still loves you. But it's probably why you're going through some of the problems that you were in. Because you weren't abiding. You weren't allowing his word to stay settled in your heart. Colossians puts it this way. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let God's word dwell in you. See, there's that idea that it makes up a home. It's not just coming from time to time. The Message Bible puts it this way. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the full run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. And so what that means is that as we walk with God and as we mature and allow His word to come into our hearts, then that means in every situation, in every circumstance, the first thing we think about is, what does God say? What does the word say? Well, this is what these people say. This is what Mama says. This is what Oprah says. Well, that's fine. What does God say? What does God say in our relationships, in our finances? Amen. Every area of life, this becomes the bedrock of everything. So in those circumstances, then we ask what we will, and it shall be done. Now, somebody said, well, praise God, I'm going to ask God to make me a drug dealer so I can drive a Hummer. All right? Now, not all drug dealers drive Hummers. Not all people who drive Hummers are drug dealers, all right? There's just a caveat there, all right? But somebody says, well, see, here's the thing. If you're abiding in Him and His word is abiding in you, you'll never pray, God, make me a drug dealer. Because His word is having the full reign of your life. It's got the full run of the house. Okay, so it's in that context that now His desires become our desires. And Jesus said, ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, John 15, I believe, just as we go through this study, I want to use that as the text, because it's only in that context that prayer is active and real and effective of being connected to God and His word having the full course in our life. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So here it says all kinds of prayer, all kinds. Another version says all manner of prayers. So evidently there are different types of prayer. All right. And we'll see from the Word of God that there's the prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, intercession, supplication. All right. There's all different things. And sometimes we say, well, you know, prayer is prayer. Yes, it is, because it's you talking to God. How many of you know that what we just did set to music, praise and worship, is prayer? What are we doing? We're talking to God. Thanksgiving. All right. Worship is a type of prayer. But here's the thing. Not all prayer is the same. Not everything that works and should be principles of intercession should be principles of worship. All right. Not all principles of the prayer of consecration should be a principle of the prayer of faith. Let me give you an example. How many of you know that there are certain promises? Well, let's just pick one in James chapter 1 we're going to see here. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? Ask of God. All right. So evidently, that is something that God wants to do in our life, is to give us wisdom. So we don't have to wonder if He's going to do it or not. So let's say you're facing a difficulty, you're facing a situation. All right. You don't know what to do. Aren't you glad God does? Are you facing anything right now where you need wisdom? All right. I do. I'll put up both hands, both feet. All right. So the response is, if you lack wisdom, don't cry. Don't complain. Don't say, I have no wisdom. Ask of God. All right. So He wants to do, and the Bible says very clearly, and He gives to all liberally. Okay. Now, what if, let's say we're facing a situation, maybe in the area of business, and this is not working, and saying, Lord, I don't know. That's just, my mind doesn't know what to do, Lord. I've never faced this before. And so, okay, Lord, according to James chapter 1, You said to ask. So I'm asking, Lord, I believe that You're going to give me wisdom, illuminate my mind, show me the right decision, Lord. Help me to honor You and to glorify You in this situation. Lord, I thank You right now for wisdom, if it be Thy will. Amen. Wait a second. Why'd you put if it be Thy will at the end? What do you mean, if it be Thy will? You know His will. James chapter 1 just clarified His will. But somebody says, well, Pastor, Jesus prayed if it be Thy will. Yes, in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup be removed from me. He was consecrating his will to the will of the Father. And so when we consecrate our life, we do just the same. We prayed for a family in the first service, and he's an employee at the Bank of Zambia, and he just got a wonderful position with the World Bank, all right, moving to Washington, D.C. So I believe that in some part of that process, he and his wife had to say, Lord, if this is your will, we're not going to assume just because it's more money that it's your will. Question, is God allowed to give you a job and give you a pay decrease? Is he allowed to do that? Some of you don't know. He's allowed to do that. All right, he's still your supplier, but there are times in following the will of God for your life that financially it's a sacrifice. All right, I've tried another church. I'll preach that somewhere else today. Okay. But anyway, they said, Lord, if this is your will, we're going to move to Washington, D.C. And they may have had to pray that prayer day after day after day until they were certain that this was the will of God. But here's the thing. What the Word of God, because here's the problem that they had, was that they could not go to the book of Proverbs to find out that in 2009, I want you to move from Lusaka to Washington, D.C., thus saith the Lord. It doesn't say that. So they have to pray in line with the general principles of God's Word, but they're going to get an answer that they can't necessarily find from the Word of God itself. Do you hear me? But when you are asking God and you're talking to Him about something within the revealed will of God, don't say, if it be thy will. Okay? What does 1 John 1:9 tell us? If anyone sins, what do? Confess your sin. And what does he do? He's faithful and he'll forgive you and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All right? And so if you say, Lord, I missed it and I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. And then you say, well, you know, if it's your will, I know you'll forgive me and you'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If it's your will. Wouldn't that be foolish? To say, if it's your will? Of course it's his will. He put it in 1 John 1:9. If he didn't want you to know it's his will, then don't put it in the Bible. All right? I remember we had somebody in my church I was growing up in. He was an elder, good guy. And he came over to the family. And we were praying about something. And it was a promise from the Word of God. It had to do with the issue of healing. And so he's praying this prayer of faith, and man, hallelujah, wonderful Jesus. Oh, this is so wonderful. And then we get to the very end, and he says, Lord, if it be thy will. And you know what I think we do sometimes in Christianity is we use that phrase as a cop-out. Especially if you're a pastor, you're doing the praying. Then that is, well, it's not my fault. I guess it just wasn't your deal. It was not the will of God. Well, here's the thing. See, you can't mix the prayer of consecration with the prayer of faith, all right? Or you get the prayer of neither. It's neither consecration and it's not the prayer of faith. All right, turn with me to James. James chapter 5. So we want to see from God's Word how do we pray for someone else? How do we intercede on behalf of someone who needs mercy? The Bible talks about praying for our leaders. How do we do that? How do we pray for lost people who don't know Jesus and don't want to know Jesus and they are happy in their sin? How many happy sinners do you know? Come on now. It's like the hymn of old, you know, I was sinking deep in sin. Whee! Some people don't mind. They are not looking for God. They're rejecting Him on purpose. Yet, how do we lift them up before God? All right? We're going to look at all of these different things. James chapter 5, verse 15. Talking about praying for the sick, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So notice the Bible refers to, there is a prayer called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Now, all prayer should have an element of faith in it. That is, I'm trusting God. But here we have something where this prayer is being prayed within the light of God's will. All right? Because God says, I will heal the sick. So therefore, you can pray the prayer of faith knowing that it is God's will. It was and it always will be God's will. to heal that sick person. All right. So the prayer of faith comes from a heart that is persuaded based on the promises of God. All right. And is asking from that context. It's asking in the light of what we already know. All right. Based on what God has done. Now, faith, we have a great Bible definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we can't see yet, not seen. All right. So faith is the substance. That word, it means it's the foundation. All right. It is the evidence of things not seen. So that means things that we can only see with the eye of faith. We see the promise, but it's not in our house. It's not in our family yet. We are not physically experiencing it, but the evidence we have right here. All right. It would be as if someone, if they were to give you something or they let you know about something, maybe someone, I don't know if you've ever had somebody where they've given you money and they gave you a deposit slip to show that they gave the money to you. All right. Is the deposit slip money? Can you go take the deposit slip and go into a shop? You can't. All right. If you got a trolley full of groceries and you came to the front and they say $2 million, please. And you say, oh, here's my deposit slip. See, $3 million. They're going to say, I don't want a deposit slip. I want cash. Right. Well, the deposit slip is not cash. It is evidence of the cash. It shows you that something has happened. See, our faith in God's word is evidence of something that is true. It is a reality. And so the prayer of faith bases the prayer on what God has said in his word and what is his will. Now turn to 1 John chapter 5. We only used this scripture in one of our services last week, but I feel like we should go back there. 1 John 5:14. Says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. What petitions? The petitions that we asked. What do we know about those petitions? The petitions that are his will. Now, again, there are times where you will pray not knowing the will of God. Prayer of consecration, the prayer of direction. Lord, I've got three choices here. Which do I do? All right. You're a young lady who loves God and you've got three men fighting for your attention. Lord, they all love you. They're all wonderful, Lord. I can't tell which one to take, Lord. None of them go to pubs. Amen. Amen. Lord, I've got a tough choice here, Lord. See, here's the thing. Then it's, Lord, I don't have your will, so therefore I'm asking your will. But here's the other thing, friends. You realize where God's word is obvious, you don't have to pray about it. The Bible says the integrity of the upright will guide them. So there's some decisions in life you don't pray about. You let integrity guide you. Well, God hasn't said anything. Well, he's not going to because his word has already told you. Well, Pastor, he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. But that's a big problem here. Here comes the comma. Here comes the red. He loves the Lord, but, you know, he does have a drinking problem. And, he's impregnated three other ladies before me. But I really feel good about it in my heart. Okay. The word of God shows you. He shows you the path. All right. So here we're praying in light of God's will. All right. In light of his word. And what do we know? We know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, turn over to James chapter 1. And we're going to look at that as an example. And this is a perfect example of praying the prayer of faith, praying in the light of God's word, praying in the light of what he has already said and he's already promised. All right. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. All right. Verse 6. Let him ask in faith. All right. So it's actually a position that James is talking about. Pray in faith. Now, just look up here for a second. Let's call this pulpit here and this area, let's say a square meter. Let's call this in faith. Now, what does that mean? That this is the place where your heart is persuaded. This is the place where you're convinced of the promises of God. You know he's faithful, and you know that he who is faithful, who promised, he also will do it. All right? Doubt has been eliminated, and you know what God has said, so you're fully convinced. So you're in this place called faith. Now, over here by the monitor, okay, this is another place that James talks about. All right? He says, let him ask in faith over there. All right, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So over here is not the place of faith. Over here is the place of doubt. It's the place of double-mindedness or of having two minds. It's a place of instability. All right. So I'm not really sure if he wants to give me wisdom. I'm not sure maybe if he just wants to kind of keep me in the dark, or maybe I just have to wait for my number to come up at the next prophecy session. Huh? You know, you go to a meeting, you're like, oh, pick me, pick me, pick me. And they don't pick you. Well, I guess now I don't know where to go. I don't know where to move. I don't know who to marry because I didn't get called up front. Amen. The Bible says this, friends. It says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. It doesn't say he who is led by the prophet of God are the sons of God. Amen. Thank God for prophets. Thank God for prophecies. But a lot of Christians who are looking to prophets are lazy. They're just lazy. Somebody else hear for me, then I'll put it off on them. All right, that went over real well also. Okay. But where are we here? We're not in the place of faith. We're not in faith. We are in doubt. We are in two minds. There is instability. So what did James want you to know? If you're in this place, here's what he wants you to know. Do not let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, what do we know about this man? This man, it says that God gives liberally. And he will give you the wisdom that you need. If you are, what? In faith. Now, what I've discovered in my own life, and in the lives of others, is that many people pray too quickly. Okay, when it comes to a promise of God, when it comes to, it is not settled in their heart yet, and they go ahead and pray what they hope is the prayer of faith. It's not. It's the prayer of two minds. Well, God, I'm not really sure about this, but, and they kind of just throw it up, and they hope it works. Kind of like a heavenly slot machine. Put in the prayer, chung, 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 chung. Put in another prayer. All right? And so they kind of, or they just kind of throw it. Maybe this one will work. All right? No. The better thing to do is if you are of two minds, if your heart is unsettled. Now, how do you know? It's when you have peace in your heart about something. Now, here's the thing. How many of you know God did a miracle for Abraham and Sarah? They had Isaac. All right? And we're part of that miracle. How many of you know in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says Abraham was fully persuaded that he who had promised would also do it. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Sarah herself believed. All right? She just wasn't riding on the coattails of Abraham's faith. She herself believed. And praise God. Faith. Our father in the faith, Abraham. But how many of you have read Genesis 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20? Guess what Abraham's doing in all those chapters? He's on his way from unbelief to the place of faith. Remember? Lord, how are you going to do that? God comes with the promise and Sarah laughs. And God says, what's so funny? And so if your heart is unsettled, maybe it's a family matter. Maybe it has to do with your finances. If it is unsettled, don't pray. Because what happens is people pray from this place and then they get angry with God. They get disappointed. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, here's the thing. No, from a place of faith, from a place of being persuaded, this is the place where John, 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. All right? So the better thing to do is just be honest with God, be honest with your heart, and say, Lord, you know what? I'm really having trouble with this. And I need you to help me. Go to the Word of God. Get books, talk to friends, hear testimonies. Let your heart get settled, just like Abraham and Sarah. They weren't in the place of faith, but they went on a journey with God, and He helped them, because here's the thing about God. He is the author and the finisher of what? Your faith. It's not about us going over here to kind of create this thing for God and say, okay, look, God, I believe you now. No, He is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All right. So if you're not trusting Him, if there is instability, talk to Him and go to the source that will bring a solution to your instability. The Word of God, the rock on which you can stand, of which you can base your beliefs. Amen. Some of you, there may be things, and this is a common thing that people have, is that, you know, Lord, I've missed it in my past. I've blown it maybe financially or in the area of my sexual purity or in business or something like that. And so therefore, I guess it will never work out for me. Well, you need to persuade your heart that His mercy endures forever. He delights in mercy. Mercy is not something you have to talk Him into. He loves to show mercy. All right. So those are some things that as you approach God can settle your heart. Now, let's look at another verse. All right. Turn to Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. So you see, the prayer of faith does not end with "if it be thy will." The prayer of faith ends with "thank you, Lord. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen." Mark 11:24. The words of Jesus tell us, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray," not when you think about them, all right, "when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, we're going to look at the first part of that verse and then the second part. Now, Jesus said this, "Whatsoever things you desire when you pray." God works with your desire. God works with your permission. All right. See, here's the thing. And we'll talk about it there. We can pray for other people. But there are times where other people are opposing God. Now, God will do His utmost best to help them to come to a place of faith, to come to a place of responding to Him. All right. But they still have an option. They have a choice. All right, Jesus said, whatever things you desire, not your mama, not your spouse, not your pastor, okay? Because here's the thing, we could have a service and people could say, oh, it's really going to be anointed. And I say, okay, there's a special anointing here for everyone who's unemployed, all right? Shoo, 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 all right? And boom, everybody who's unemployed is going to have a job. Well, what if you don't want a job? What if you enjoy staying at home? My will is not going to override your will. The will of God is not going to override your will. All right? So whatsoever things you desire when you pray, not when someone else's prays. See, and we're going to look at this next week. And this is the thing that makes praying for somebody else tricky. What do they want? What are they looking to God? Am I agreeing with them or are they actually resisting God? Because now we're going to have to maybe pray in a different angle. All right. But when it comes to you, Jesus said, whatever things you desire when you pray. Now, I want you to look at a couple examples. Turn to John 5. God works with your desire. Sometimes people and some of the movies that are made of Jesus, some of them are kind of, I remember one back in, I think it was in the 70s, where Jesus looked more like a new age guru who was a marathon runner, sunken cheeks, looked, you know, like he hadn't eaten in 2 years and had this faraway, crazy look in his eye and just kind of this mystical guy who went around, healed, blessed are the meek, all right? No, that's not my Jesus. It's not your Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. All right. But Jesus worked with people's desire, worked with their desire. He did not override their desire. All right. John 5. Now, starting in verse 2, there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now notice here, this is what we would call a move of God. This is a special miracle that's taking place. But notice it says that the angel would stir up the water, but someone had to step in. Notice the angel didn't throw you in the water. Right? So healing was available to whoever stepped in. Why didn't the angel just come and heal everybody? God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. So it's available. It's for you. Step on in. And so there was a man there. Look, let's keep reading. There was a man there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, we don't know how long he was at the pool, all right? But it wasn't working out for him because later he says, you know, I didn't have anybody to help me in the water, all right? So there, he had this infirmity, and Jesus saw him lying there. Okay, Jesus saw him lying where? Place where a bunch of sick people were. And Jesus knew that he had already been that in that condition a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be made whole? Now, you see that this guy, he got a little upset about what Jesus said. Wait a second, Jesus. Why do you think I'm here? Do you think I'm taking pictures? Do you think I'm asking for testimonies so I can take them to the Christian magazine? Do I want to be made whole? Jesus, I'm here where the miracle's taking place. Do I want to be made whole? I think all the things I've been hearing about you can't be true. Do you want to be made whole? What did Jesus ask him? Now, let's take a couple steps back. What was the will of Jesus in this situation? For his healing. That's what Jesus wanted. That's what God wanted. It's what he wants today. Amen? It's not just a matter of what God wants. What do you want? What do you want? Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? What are the only two possible answers for that question? Is that what the guy said? Isn't it funny? Look through the Bible and see how many times people answer God incorrectly. Not just incorrectly, they don't even answer the question. Adam, did you eat of the fruit? Let's see. Let me go back here. They don't answer the question. All right? Do you want to be made whole? Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. Jesus didn't say, tell me your whole story. Tell me of what's going on. Do you want to be made whole? And what did Jesus say? Rise, take up your bed and walk. What did Jesus do? He gave him something to act upon. Well, you can't get in the water, but now I'm telling you, rise, 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 rise. You take the step, rise. You can't step in the water. I'm giving you another step, rise. Take up your bed and go home. What if he would have done nothing? He'd still be there today. Thank God he went home in John chapter 5, but we could have found him in John chapter 20, still there. Rise, rise, rise. What do you want me to do for you? Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Not when your pastor prays. Not your spouse's desire. What do you desire? Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But many warned him to be quiet. So he cried out all the more. That's a good option. When people tell you to be quiet, amen, just cry out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. You will always get God's attention when you call out for mercy. Always, always, always. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they said to the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now, what is he, a blind guy? Right? So he rose and he came to Jesus. So how do blind people walk across the room? With help. Either from a friend or a cane. I mean, how many of you know if you're blind and you're walking from a place from there to here, we know it. You can't fool anybody. Okay, so did Jesus know that he was blind? Was it obvious? All right. What had been the man's request up to this point? Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Well, the Bible says that his mercies, plural, are new every morning. So that means God has many kinds of mercies. So Jesus needs some clarification. What kind of mercy are you looking for? You just said, have mercy on me. Well, he knows I'm in trouble. He should just figure it out. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So what? Notice this. And this, I'll be honest, every time I read this, it kind of freaks me out. So he throws aside his garment. Jesus has stopped. Jesus had an agenda. He's stopped for this man. He stopped for the call of mercy. And so Jesus answered him and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What did he ask the guy in Bethsaida? Do you want to be made whole? What did he ask the blind man? What do you want? I firmly believe from a biblical perspective, if the man would have asked for tea and a biscuit, he would have gotten tea and a biscuit. Hey, Jesus, you got any extra fish from that last time you had fed 5,000 people? I know you know how to give fish. What do you want? What do you want, friends? What do you want? What do you want? Well, God's just going to, I'm just, waiting for him. No, he's waiting for you. What do you want? You know what's interesting? Some people in life, they've never answered that question. Well, what kind of spouse are you looking for? What do you want? What kind of a job do you want? Any old job. Well, guess what you're going to get? Any old job. Jesus stops and he looks at a blind guy and he says, what do you want? Doesn't it almost sound insulting? Here's the thing, friends. Listen. Write this down if you want to. God does not work on the basis of assumption. God does not. He does not work on the basis of assumption. God is not a lawbreaker. He doesn't go where he's not invited. Jesus said, I stand at the door of every man's heart and I knock. Well, can't he open the door? Sure he could, but he's not going to. I knock. And if you'll open up, I'll come in. What? Based on your invitation. If you open up, he'll come in. Ask the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Now, this is very important. Because what did we see in the beginning? If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. But here's the thing. You've got to know what's in his word. I am so glad that the blind man had heard the right thing about Jesus. Because here in this passage, it said, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, not Bob of Galilee, or somebody else, but he knew who Jesus was, and he even called him Son of David. He recognized him as the Messiah. He recognized him as the Anointed One. He knew who he was talking to. And so Jesus said, what do you want me to do? So he knew that he was the Messiah. He knew Isaiah 53 talked about healing. He himself, that Son of David, he carries away my sickness and he's canceled my diseases. Amen? He knows this is Jesus, the one the prophets have foretold. And so he asks for the right thing. Now, if you don't know what God has, you might not ask for it. Now, some people would tell the blind man today, well, just bear up under your sickness. Just grin and bear it. Let God be glorified in your sickness. So if Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do for me? Well, Jesus, just help me to be patient and hold on till the end and let people know that even though I'm blind, I love you. That's exactly what Jesus would have given him. Well, okay, that's fine. Be blessed. Have courage, son, What do you want? I love this. I love this part. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Ding, 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 ding. Right answer. See, he is asking for something in the revealed, written word of God. That's called the prayer of faith. You can stand. So he has a request that is God has already, he has already said yes to. All right? Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. That's curious. Why would he say that? Why wouldn't he say, it's my anointing that has broken the yoke of bondage upon you? Why wouldn't he say, it's my power, my life-giving power that's made you whole? Why didn't he say, I was moved with compassion? You called to my mercy. It's my mercy that's made you whole. Now, let's ask a question. Was Jesus' anointing on display here? Was the power of God working? Was the compassion and the mercy of God flowing? Absolutely. But what did Jesus emphasize? Power, love, compassion, anointing? No. He said to the guy, according to you, make the call. You make the call. And Jesus said it over and over in the Gospels, over and over and over again. He said, according to your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. Whatsoever things you desire, you desire. All right, now, let's close here. We're going to look at one more principle here that is important. All right, in 1 John 5, we read that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we have the petitions. When do we have them? When we prayed. All right. Look at Mark 11:24. We looked at the first part. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Now look at this next phrase. Believe that you receive them. When? What does it say? Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them. When you pray. When you pray, believe that you receive them. What did Thomas say? Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe before they see. Corinthians tells us, for we look not at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are unseen. All right? So here it says, believe when you pray, believe you receive them. Now, if we were in an English class today and a teacher asked you, believe you have received. What tense is that? Have received. Okay, yeah, it's kind of past, kind of present, right? Received is past. Have is right now. So basically, because of something in the past, I have it now. All right? And then he says, believe you have received and you will, what did he say? And you will have them. Will have. When is that? That's future. So you believe you receive when? Now, when I pray. When I say amen. When do they happen? In the future. Somebody says, Pastor, why is that? I have no earthly idea. I don't know. But what we see throughout the Word of God, there are many times where there is a time period between amen and wow, look, it's here. There's a time period. And we can only speculate. Sometimes I think, you know, God may be working some stuff out, talking to other people's lives, getting you ready. Who knows? We don't know. We can ask him when we get to heaven. Probably you won't care when you get to heaven. Okay? But what it means is between here and there, there's a time period. I've received it here, but it actually shows up in my house or in my bank account over here. Now, I said there's kind of two common mistakes that people make in the prayer of faith. One, they pray too quickly. It's not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of two-mindedness. It's not from a fully persuaded heart. It's from a halfway persuaded heart. All right, so take some time, work on your heart, let God persuade you, and then pray. But then secondly, sometimes people don't realize this time period. So I believe I receive when I pray. Amen. And then what happens is, then your eyes, you go to the bank account and your eyes tell you, you see that number is the same. Actually, it can't be the same because bank charges start applying. Right? I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. So your five senses keep giving you all this evidence. God, I've got this sickness, Lord. I know this is not your will. Jesus took, he carried away my sickness and disease. And so I rebuke this in Jesus' name. I receive your healing power. Amen. And your stomach says, I'm hurting. Just want you to know I'm still here. I hurt really bad. In fact, I hurt even more than when you started praying. So we have physical evidence that we deal with. All right. So here's the thing. So unfortunately, what people do is, so they pray the prayer of faith. They say amen. So they say, oh, I guess God didn't hear me the first time. God, now I'm mad about it. Okay. And I'm kind of upset. And I've got a little bitterness now in my prayer. It's not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of a little bit of anger. Why didn't you come through for me? You came through for them. Prayer of emotion, prayer of desperation. Okay. Or then what some people do, and I've heard people tell me to my face, well, we've been praying this for a long time, and now we're fasting. Okay, we'll talk about fasting in the weeks to come. Fasting is biblical. It is not biblical as a substitute for the prayer of faith. Well, now I'm going to get God's attention. No, you're just going to lose a dress size. That's the only benefit you're going to get from fasting. Because you're thinking, well, that didn't work. So now I've got to somehow convince him, manipulate him, move his hand. All right? No. If you are in faith, if it is the revealed will of God, and you've asked in faith, you believe you receive, then guess what? On your way to the actual physical evidence, on that journey of time, you know what you say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I, just like Jesus said, I know you heard me. I know you heard me back there. I believe I received. So I thank you now. The testimony of a pastor in a rural part of Texas. And there was a lady in his church who was real obstinate, she wasn't in the church. The husband was in the church. He was a real strong believer. The wife was not. All right. So the husband had been praying for the wife. People in the church, the ladies had been praying for the wife. So small town, small community, everybody knew that she didn't want anything to do with the Lord. Well, on one Sunday night, she came to church and God marvelously saved her. She came and she gave her heart to Jesus and people were rejoicing and the ladies were up front and they were shouting, oh, glory, hallelujah, wonderful Jesus, hallelujah. And the husband is on the third row on the aisle, just sitting there. And here's his wife who's been a reprobate and a sinner, and now she's given her heart to Jesus and he's just sitting there. And so the lady's coming up to him and said, sir, your wife's born again. Why don't you come up here and shout with us? And he was an old farmer. He didn't even uncross his arms. He said, I did my shouting a long time ago. When? When he believed that he received. When he believed that he received. See, it's on the way. All right. Let me give you another example. All right. Here I've got, let's see. This Bible is, I think it's genuine leather. Genuine fake leather. Who knows? All right. All right. Now, if I say, okay, I want you to have that, all right, that's your Bible, all right? He's got it in his hands, all right? You were raised right. You had a good mom, good dad, all right? So what if I gave you that Bible, what do you say to me? Thank you. Why? That's good manners, right? Okay? That's just good manners. You don't even have to really be thankful or not. It's just good manners, all right? But I say, okay, you know what? I want you to have this Bible, but I need it for tonight for the service. So I want you to come on Tuesday. I'm going to give this to you, but not this second, all right? But it's yours. I want you to have it. What are you going to say? What's that? You'll be puzzled first. Yeah? Okay. That's okay. Why don't I want it now? Why don't you give it to me now? I'm puzzled. Okay? Now, if you believe me, if we have a relationship, and everything I've ever done, I've always kept my word towards you. Every time. You know my integrity. In fact, I'm perfect. Okay, my wife sitting over there, she would beg to differ, all right? But if you knew me and I was perfect, and I said, I'll give this to you on Tuesday, what are you going to say? You'll say thank you, but you don't have it. But he says thank you because he believes me. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Blessed are those who believe Having not seen. And so from here to there, we transition from the prayer of thanksgiving. We don't enter into the prayer of begging. There's no prayer of begging in the Bible. We don't go from the place of emotionally pleading. That's not in the Bible. But here we change. When we pray the prayer of faith and we say amen, we transition to the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, you are faithful. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know what? Actually, Lord, you know what? It looks actually worse today. But you know what? I believe I've received. I believe the word of God is coming to pass because you said your word is forever settled in heaven. It's also settled in my heart. And no matter what I see, I keep my eyes on you and I keep my eyes on the promise. And while we're still waiting for this, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Amen. So you believe in God for a good job, all right? You're looking for something that you don't have right now, all right? So you send out CVs, rejection, rejection, rejection. Interviews, interviews, interviews. When you come out of that interview, what do you base your believing on? And isn't it sad sometimes when they tell you, you better stop looking for a job like this? Or they tell you, you know, times are really tough. Oh, okay, that's evidence that is contrary to the evidence of God's word. God's word says he'll take care of me. God's word says I can put my hand to something and it'll prosper it. So Lord, this is what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm experiencing, but I'm going back to what I believed. I'm believing what I base my faith on is what your word says and what we've already settled in prayer. Okay, so with the prayer of faith, take a while before you pray it. But when you pray it, say amen. And that's it. Amen. It's a done deal. Do you see that? All right. Now, again, we're going to be looking at other things where the will of God is uncertain. All right. And where the will of God is uncertain, there are times where you have to pray and keep on praying. Okay. When you're praying for other people sometimes. All right. And situations. We'll look at how that is. Do you see that? And see, remember Jesus said a farmer, he plants seed in the ground and he goes to bed not knowing how it works, but it works. All right. So you don't have to. And here's what I've always done. I don't want to do it anymore. But sometimes when I pray and I say amen, then I try to help God out. I try to start figuring out how he's going to do it. You know, as if he needs my advice. And so I'll be thinking, how's that going to happen? Probably this one and that one. And sort of sliding down your chair. And so I've got this thing of how I think it's going to happen. And then that doesn't happen. And then, uh-oh, we're in trouble. God, the way I figured it out, it didn't work. So, yeah. God, listen. God has a million and one ways that you don't know about to take care of you. All right? When the brook dries up, there's another way of provision. Amen. On this earth, things can change, but his word remains the same. All right. So today, as we leave here, I want us to, there are kind of three areas that we've looked at. And I believe God wants to help us in those areas. Number one, all right, you could be in a place where you just be honest with God and say, you know, Lord, I'll be honest, I'm not persuaded. Maybe you feel like you don't deserve it. Maybe it's something you believe about him. Maybe you're just, there's darkness when it comes to God's word in a certain area. But just tell God, you know, Lord, like the guy told him, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He will help your unbelief. Number two, and this is where I find myself in times, is where God has rebuked me from time to time where I might be kind of facing a bit of disappointment. Lord, I thought this was supposed to happen. He said, have you asked me? No. Well, I'm waiting for you to ask me. All right. So some of you need to ask. And then thirdly, some of you need to stand. You need to thank God. Switch from petition to thanksgiving. In the Philippian jail, the Bible says that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. They prayed and sang praises. All right. So you need to move over to a place of thanksgiving, thanking God that his word is true, thanking that he has heard you, and then simply stay in that place of expectation. And then God will do it his way and his time, which is usually different than your way and your time. That's what makes life fun sometimes. All right. So let's just open up our heart to God. Let's bow our heads and just see where God may be impressing you along these lines. Father, thank you so much that you take care of us. Thank you that you're a good Father. You're trustworthy. We can look to you and we can have confidence on based on who you are and what you've said in your word. So Father, today, Lord, we just let our hearts settle on what you've said in your word. And Lord, if there are some here today who are unsettled and there's instability, they're of two minds about something. Lord, I pray right now that you would help them to dig into your word. Lord, you bring resources or people across their path that would help them, Lord, to come to a place of conviction, a place of persuasion. Lord, for those maybe like me, but Lord, sometimes we're disappointed, sometimes we're a little discouraged, we simply haven't asked. We haven't asked. And Lord, that we would let our request be made known unto you. And then Father, for those who are walking a life of faith, Lord, and there, in a sense, it seems like there's an unanswered prayer. Father, that we can go from a place of complaining to a place of thanksgiving. Lord, that you have heard us. That you are working in and around that situation, bringing your word to pass. And so, Father, while we wait to see it with our eyes, we let it settle in our heart. It's ours. It's a done deal in Jesus' name. So right now, just go ahead and talk to God. Just go ahead and talk to him right now as wherever you may be in some of these things. I believe it would be good just to talk to him right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For you are good. For you are good. For you are good. Yes, yes. I'll do that. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.